All right, we be live. Hello, everybody, here with another video review from this channel called The Muslim Lantern, speaking to an American woman who seems to be interested in converting to Islam. She's considering it, and she has some questions. There are certain parts of Islam that she doesn't seem to like. So she's asking this. Actually, this channel is another channel that I just discovered that I'm going to be focusing on more, because so far, the channels that we've been focusing on Atheist Republic here with you guys has been Muhammad Hijab, The Muslim Skeptic with Danny Hayraju, Ali Dawa, and Smile to Jannah. And I was hoping to find more channels, and this is a channel that seems to be getting a lot of views, and I've just noticed it. So, great. It's called The Muslim Lantern, and it's becoming very, very popular with a lot of views. So, let's see how he addresses this woman's concern. Let me just see people in the live chat. I see Soha here. Thank you, Soha. Soha is saying audio is great. Thank you, thank you. I see David here saying hello. Atheist Damon, Space Leah, and Seed of Iblis. And okay, that's a good reminder. Thank you so much, Eden. Eden is saying, confirming that he or she has liked the stream already. Guys, we are here zapping dogma, zapping nonsense, okay? You guys need to support us with just liking the stream. Like the stream right now, especially right at the beginning of the show. If you keep liking it, YouTube will tell other people that are right now on YouTube to come watch this live stream. That's the power that you have. By liking, you're going to gather more people to come watch this. These Islamic YouTube channels, they are growing fast, and they're spreading like a disease, right? Like a virus, and they're very, very influential. So this channel is responding to all of that nonsense. This channel is part of the cure. So please help out the cure against this disease that is spreading. Thank you so much. Again, I'm talking about ideas, not about people. Let me actually check if we're still monetized with this kind of language that I'm using. Okay, so far, hold on. Let me actually keep a watch with you guys on the monetization to see what happens. Okay, so this is so far. You can see it's green. Green is good, guys. Green is good. If this turns yellow, that means we're screwed. Okay, so limited basically means nothing at all, right? That's what YouTube's almost nothing at all, right? So far, so good. We'll see if we get demonetized on air. Yeah, people are praying to the YouTube gods, I think. Oh, okay, so let me see other people. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't go over anti-Semitism to them today, given that it's a big H Memorial Day. No, maybe. I mean, I don't really pay attention to what day it is. But yeah, okay, maybe I should have done that. David is saying liked. Okay, thank you, guys. Thank you. People are saying shalom. Roy is saying hello, everyone. And Zaid is getting a specific hello from Roy. And it's not... Oh, yeah, I should keep that meme ready. Let me have that meme ready just in case we get demonetized. Yeah, so... Yeah, it's ready now. It's ready. Again, in case we get demonetized... Hold on, let me actually put it on the screen here. Hold on. We have this new tab here, and then put this here. Right, so if we get demonetized, this is the meme that we're going with every time. Okay, but no, so far so good. So far for the alliance, for the king. Okay, let's continue. Guys, let's just start. I mean, let's put the video. All right, let's start from the beginning. Let's see what this American woman. So this is again from the channel The Muslim Lantern, and the title. I basically copied the title that they had. The title for that video was American Lady Questions Muslim About Woman in Islam. Their title had a Muhammad Ali at the end. Mine didn't. I think Muhammad Ali is the name of the guy here. We'll see. All right, so let's play.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay.
So I just have some questions about things that I'm having a hard time accepting within Islam.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. So what is the questions that you have? Go ahead.
Well, my first question is, can I still be a Muslim if I agree with the core theology, like I agree with that there's a creator and that there's prophets, but some of the things I disagree with, some of the leadings or ideas in Islam, like some of the things that the prophets say, like, I don't completely agree with those.
No, if you...
Okay, oh, okay, so what, guys, what do you think? What do you think the answer is? If... So Carrie seems to be interested, she's considering Islam. So, but she's looking at Islam, she's saying, like, well, I agree with the core beliefs, but some of the things that Muhammad is saying, I do not agree with those. So she's asking, can I still be a Muslim if I disagree with some of the teachings of Muhammad, but I agree with the core beliefs of Islam? What do you guys think? Let's do a quiz test here. See if this is... Oh, somebody's saying the answer is hell no. So I'm saying, of course, no. Spacely is saying the answer. I think the answer is no. Yes, you guys are correct. Here's the thing. What Muhammad is saying is the teaching are the commandments of Allah. Technically, the Quran itself also says that if you deny the teachings of Allah, the commandments of Allah, you have left Islam. You are no longer, you can't be considered Muslim. That's according to the Quran and also according to the ulama, the vast majority of the ulama. There is a way to say that you could still be a... Okay, so under... When you say, can I still be a Muslim, it depends on what you mean by Muslim, because the word Muslim has different definitions according to different people. If you refer to the Quran, no, you're no longer a Muslim. If you refer to the ulama, most of them, no, you're no longer a Muslim. If you refer to self-ID, you know, some people say, like, if you're a Muslim, if you say you're a Muslim, you're a Muslim. Then, okay, then you are a Muslim because you say you're a Muslim. If you refer to how the word Muslim is being used by the vast majority of the people in the world, technically, you know, maybe you could be most people could consider you a Muslim, even though the Quran doesn't consider you a Muslim, and the ulama, the Islamic scholars don't consider you a Muslim. But most people, if you say, I believe in Allah and Muhammad being his prophet, I don't agree with some of his teaching, even though Islamically you're not a Muslim anymore, but maybe, like, the way that the word Muslim is used globally, maybe you could still be considered a Muslim. Anyways, according to Islam, at least, you're no longer a Muslim, right? Here's the way around it, though. You could say that I don't think Muhammad said that, all right? So maybe that's the way around it. Maybe I think Muhammad said something else. If you say that I believe Muhammad said this and I don't agree with it, or I believe Allah, this is a commandment of Allah, but I don't agree with it, then no, you're out. But maybe there's a way that you could stay a Muslim by saying that, yeah, I don't think Muhammad said that. Maybe some of the ulama would be like, well, you're wrong. Muhammad did say that, but because you're not purposefully disagreeing with Allah and his messenger, maybe you could still stay within the fold of Islam. So that's a gray area, right? But let's see what the Muslim Lantern responds. Yes, people say, press the like button, people. Do it. It doesn't cost you anything except half a second. So let's watch this.
Disagree with any part of the Quran.
Okay, so his answer, let's go back because I cut some of his answers.
Prophets say, like, I don't completely agree with those.
And no, if you disagree with any part of the Quran and you say you don't believe in that thing or you disagree with it, you think it's wrong, it's not up to the times, it's not up to the standards, it's not just, it's not fair, or the Prophet was wrong about this specific thing, you can't, this disqualifies a person from being a Muslim.
Okay.
A Muslim, the definition of the word means submitter, someone who submits to the revelation.
Okay.
He submits to Allah, he submits to the messenger and the teachings of Allah and his messenger, basically.
Okay, so disagreement with Muhammad also, that's also depends. There's also, like, here, come to Mufti Armin or Ayatollah Armin or Sheikh Armin, depending on your school of Islam that you belong to. There is a way for you to disagree with Muhammad if what he said is not the revelation from God, if it's like something not related to the deen, not related to religion, because there is a story about Muhammad where he made a recommendation about farming and it was wrong. The man lost his crops. Okay, so this is part of Islam. Like, this is the same teaching within Islam. And I go, like, what the hell, Muhammad? You gave me bad advice. I lost all my crops. I mean, this was like horrible advice. And Muhammad, like, Why are you even asking me? I don't know. I'm not an expert in farming. Like, you shouldn't have asked me. Which is like one of the few fair points Muhammad has made. But I don't know why he answered anyways if he was like not an expert. So I think that part of the teaching suggests that Muhammad could be wrong about non-religion related stuff. So if he's talking about the deen, which means the religion, then yeah, no, yeah, that's the part of, like, Muhammad doesn't speak on himself about religion. If he's speaking about religion, that's coming from Allah, right? So maybe you could disagree with Muhammad over farming techniques and you're fine, but you can't disagree with Muhammad when it comes to religion, technically. Yeah. Yeah, people are saying, love that story. Yeah. Yeah, this is part of Islam. This story is part of Islam. I'm not making this up. Oh, thank you, Ayn. All right, let's continue.
The definition of what the word Muslim means.
Okay, so there's a couple other questions that I have. Or
hey, I gave a more, I'm not even Muslim, and I gave a more complete answer than this guy, right? This is a very popular Muslim channel. Like, this channel is growing. Like, we're an atheist channel. They have 273 subscribers. We're an atheist channel, and we're not as popular, but I gave you a more complete answer. I gave you from all different sides, interpretation, all different schools of thought. I covered this whole thing full. Okay, come to an atheist channel if you want to know Islam. And I'm being fair. Like, I'm not like trying to just like completely bash Islam all the time. Like, I will be, if it's fair, I will give you an honest answer, right? Yeah, I'm like, this wasn't bashing. This was accurate. Islamically, what I said was accurate.
For that, like, just...
Okay, go ahead.
What Muslim means.
Okay, so there's a couple other questions that I have. Or that, like, just...
Yeah, come. More questions.
Make sense.
I will... Carrie, come to our channel. I will... Like, she has these questions. Come to, watch this as well. You got the answers from this Muslim guy. Get your answers from an ex-Muslim, too. Like, somebody send this to Carrie so she could get my answers as well. Okay, next question. Next question. I'm here for
me,
this.
But one of them is that there is... So in the chapter of Muhammad, it talks a lot about how disbelievers' good deeds get dismissed on Judgment Day. But my question is, disbelievers can still be good people, so why do their good deeds get dismissed?
Yeah.
Okay, before he answers, okay. So in Judgment Day, me as a non-Muslim, right? No matter how many good things I've done, it's simply like my good deeds will get dismissed. So she's asking, like, why would my good deeds as a non-believer get dismissed? Like, if you do something kind, like, to a poor person that is in need, as a Muslim, God would like, great job. But you guys in the live chat and me, if we like help somebody in need, God would like, I don't, you know, yeah, whatever. Straight to hell you go. So why will my good deeds be dismissed and this Muslim lantern's good deeds? I mean, she has a good question. Like, that seems like unfair. I mean, if you're doing a good thing, you're doing a good thing. Like, why is God not going to recognize that as a good thing? So what is your answer, people in the live chat? Why would Allah dismiss your good deeds? Anybody has an answer? Anybody has an answer? No? No, you guys don't have an answer. I will give you the answer. This is why you're here, because I have the answers, okay? The reason is, no, Allah is a picky character. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, but that question is why. We know that you're just repeating what's happening here. We have, what's the explanation for it? Because you didn't, David is saying, because you didn't believe in Allah. Yes, yes. But this is like a description of what's happening here. So you don't believe in Allah. So Allah doesn't accept your good deeds. So why wouldn't Allah not accept your good deeds if you don't believe in Allah? Allah is racist? No. Allah is a dick? Well, yeah, but why? Why? Okay, because it wasn't fi sabilillah. It wasn't fi sabilillah. Okay, it wasn't for God. So that's technically the definition of a good deed is that it's done for Allah. So it's not even a good deed. It's not even a good deed. Like, why did you do it? Okay, did you help the poor person because you felt sorry for the poor person? So if you felt sorry for the poor person, okay, so if it wasn't fi sabilillah, if it wasn't for God, you did it for selfish reasons. you either society is watching you and like, hey, look, I'm helping the poor, so it's for like that, or you genuinely felt sorry for that person and you just satisfied your own urge to reduce misery in that guy. So technically that's selfish as well. I mean, even if it's for reducing harm, for reducing misery, it bothered you that this guy is in trouble. It bothered you that he's suffering. So if you help him, you help yourself. So you got what you wanted out of it. Like, okay, so why did you help him? You wanted him to not suffer? Well, okay, now his suffering is less. That's what you did, and that's what you get. Right? But so why should Allah give you anything? You got what you wanted out of that. You wanted this guy to be a little bit less poor? Well, he's now a little bit less poor, right? You didn't do it. So why should Allah reward you? You got the reward that you wanted from him. If you did it for Allah, this is how horrible Islam is, right? Right? So technically, you shouldn't even do it for him or her. You should do it for Allah. It doesn't really matter how much pain you're removing. You're doing it for Allah. You're not even doing it because you want to reduce misery. You should be doing it because Allah wants you to do that, right? This is how good deeds are actually not even good deeds in Islam. So what they say about our good deeds, I will say that about their good deeds. Because I consider a good deed a deed that is actually with the intention of reducing misery. Because our moral philosophy, at least mine here, is rule utilitarianism. Right, so we define a good deed, a deed that is in the direction of reducing misery in the world. They define a good deed, a good deed is a deed that is commanded by Allah, regardless of how much misery is reducing or not. So they're not helping the poor person because the guy to reduce the suffering. They're helping the poor person because Allah said so. Right, and if you did it for Allah, well then Allah will reward you. Because why should Allah reward you if you didn't do it for him? That's how it works. That's how messed up Islam is, by the way. We got a super chat from All Colors saying, because you're not part of the in-group. Yes, but that is the real reason, but that's not the way they explain it. And thank you for the super chat. Speaking of super chat, let me see if we're still monetized. Are we still monetized, guys? Guess. What the hell? Are you kidding me? What did I say? What the hell did I say? Maybe it was the disease comments? Okay, we are demonetized, everybody. We have been demonetized. YouTube, I was talking about religions. I was talking about beliefs. I wasn't talking about people. I don't know why you're so butthurt over that. Anyways, guys, we have been demonetized. If you want to send us super chats, please do so. I requested an appeal. But again, when I request an appeal, it takes a couple of days for the monetization to maybe come back. And by that time, most of the views of the stream is over. So it doesn't really matter that much. Okay. By the way, as promised, and it's gone. And it's gone. We're doing this meme every time now that we lose monetization. Right. So was it my comments? No, it wasn't. Yeah. And people are saying, and bring the meme. Yes. Yes. So I don't know what happened. Okay. It was green when we started. I showed you guys. Anyways, let's see how the Muslim Lantern responds to this.
Dismissed on the Day of Judgment, not dismissed in this world. So they can get something for what they do in this world. Allah says he gives them in return of what they do in this world, because what they did was for this world. Those people, you can use the term good people. We wouldn't agree with that terminology.
Okay, he's like, you could call them good people. We wouldn't agree with that with that terminology. So Islamic, this guy is very good. He's giving. I think what this channel needs to be more popular, the Muslim Lantern, because Ali Dava, for example, is right now the most popular Muslim channel out there, and he really doesn't understand Islam, to be honest. And Muslim Lantern is at least giving accurate answers, right? So he's saying we don't agree with that terminology. So if you are a person that, you know, helps, that hasn't hurt any single person, doesn't hurt a fly, doesn't you know, gives money to charity, tries to help people as much as he or she can, tries to reduce harm in the world, constantly caring, very, you know, very kind and caring person. Everybody speaks highly of him or her, and nobody would think that this person will be cause any misery or harm any to anyone in the world. That person, if that person doesn't believe in Allah, the Muslim lantern is telling you that, well, we don't agree with that terminology for you to call this person a good person. Right? Because, yeah, he's all the good things, his so-called good things he's doing is for the results of this world. Again, focusing on dunya over the akhirat. I mean, Persians say akhirat, they say akhira. They don't say, they don't pronounce the T. Dunya over the akhira. So this world, we life lovers, we prefer this world over the next world. They call us life lovers, right? I mean, if we're life lovers, then I will call you death lovers, right? You guys are death lovers. Like, the whole prioritizing the afterlife is what makes them a death cult. That's why they are a death cult, right? But yeah, so he's saying it accurately. Like, well, technically, that's not a good person. They're doing the good deeds for the results in this world, not fi sabilillah, not in the way. Fi means in, sabil means way, Allah means Allah. So fi sabilillah means in the way of God. So did I get that right? So Soha knows Arabic in the light. Yeah.
They can do good things. That does not mean they're good people. There's a difference between the two. But when you say those people have still done something good, let's assume, for example, they give charity. Mm-hmm. What is the intention they have when they give in charity?
Well, there can be a variety of intentions.
Go ahead. Give me. They're not believers. So what kind of intentions they have?
So they could be giving charity because they agree with the cause, or they feel empathy for the people who need the money. Like, there's a couple different reasons as to why they could.
And there are many selfish reasons as well. For example, they want to feel good, because when you do that, you feel good. When you give others, you feel good yourself.
He's correct, guys. Everything you do, every sacrifice you make for the sake of other people is technically selfish, right? You care about others. There's no selfless act. Even if you are sacrificing for the sake of other people, it's because you care for them, you want them to do better, you get upset over their misery, and when you help them, you're doing this because your desire is to see them succeed, your desire is to see them less miserable. So when you're helping them, you're doing it for selfish reasons. But here's the thing, that's beautiful. What that is a selfish act that is beautiful. The fact that you're a person that suffers from other people's suffering and gets joy out of other people's joy, that is true that that's selfish, but it's beautiful and it's great that what gives you joy. It's great that other people's suffering brings you suffering. That's a great thing. We want that. Selfish here is not a bad thing, but he uses the word selfish as a way that is, like, you know, not important, you know, not good. But I say, like, yeah, it is selfish and it's good. It's good here. This is a form of selfishness that should be encouraged. It makes this form of selfishness makes the world a better place. This is why we focus on dunya. We focus on this world rather than the akhirah, which means the afterlife, because we want to make this world better. And this form of selfishness, when we care for each other, makes this world a better place. I mean, if this is the only world that we have and their akhirah is a lie, if their afterlife is a lie, then it makes sense for us to make this world as good as it possibly can be. And if they are wrong, imagine all the sacrifices they're making for the next world, where this is the only life, the only chance at prosperity and happiness and peace and love that we could get. All your calculations go out the window. Everything, you know, when it comes to trying to make things better, if you think there's an infinite life after death, then technically all your calculations are wrong about what is the best thing to do. But here's another thing. Muslim Lantern, I would be very curious about how he would answer this. How is what you're doing not selfish? Because at the end of the day, you want to submit to Allah. No? You want to serve God. You want to say yes to the commandments of Allah. You want to follow it. That is your decision. So that is also selfish. So either you're doing a good deed as a Muslim to go to heaven and get rewarded in heaven, or somebody might say, like, no, it's not even about heaven. I will serve Allah even if I didn't get the reward of heaven. Both of these are still selfish. If you're doing good deeds in this life because of the reward of an afterlife, that is selfish. And if you're like, no, I just want to serve God. Well, it's your want. You're just doing what you want. That's also selfish. Technically, there's nothing you can do that is not selfish. Hence determinism.
He can be doing it so people can praise them and say, oh, look, this person is a charitable person. Look at all the good that he's doing. But all of these intentions that you mentioned, is any of them for the sake of God?
Not the ones that I mentioned, no.
Or any, because they don't believe in God to begin with. So they will never have an intention to do with God.
Mm-hmm.
So why should they expect God to reward them? Why should God reward people who didn't do anything for him?
By the way, the silence is because they're thinking. I didn't pause anything. She's thinking. So guys, before she answers, you answer this. Why should God? So he's saying, why should God reward you if you did everything for the sake of this world? So let's say you die and God is like, well, you didn't do it for me, so why should I reward you? The people who did the good things for serving me, I should reward them. But the people who didn't do it for me, why would I? They didn't expect that. They didn't expect a reward from me. So why should I give you something that you did not expect? This makes absolute sense, complete sense, if you're a freaking moron. All right? If you're an idiot, this makes complete sense. It sounds like it makes sense, right? If you didn't expect a reward, why should I give you a reward? But if you have two neurons, at least two, maybe two and a half, then you will realize that, well, technically, the way we think about deserving, usually, is that if you did something without an expectation of a reward, then we would think that person deserves more of a reward. That's how we think about these things, don't we? Like, am I wrong about this? Who deserves more praise? Somebody who does a good deed for the sake of reward, or somebody who does a good deed without an expectation of a reward? Usually, most people think like, yeah, the person that did that out of the kindness of their heart without an expectation of a reward, that person is more praiseworthy. That person might be, you know, more praiseworthy also means like more deserving of a reward. So how is that making sense, what he's saying? Like, oh, why should we give you a reward? You didn't do this for a reward. You didn't do this for God. Like, yeah, that's what makes it better. That's what makes it better. You did this because you just cared for people. Technically, he's right. From an Islamic mindset, it doesn't make it better. But from a sane perspective, from a not idiotic, non-Islamic perspective, we can see that utilitarianism is a superior moral philosophy than divine command theory. We can see that the people who are encouraging people, like this being a value, this being something that we praise, when people are helping somebody out of their kindness of their heart because they care for people rather than an expectation of a reward, seeing that as a higher, you know, form of good deed, that's what makes a society better. So of course, if you are a just God, let's say there is a God. Like, guys, if you are God, like, be honest with me, if you are God, two people have died and now they're at the gates of heaven. One of them helped everybody, humans and animals, Because they thought you're going to give him something after he dies, he or she dies. The other percent had no idea that you existed. And they were helping humans and other animals. I shouldn't say humans and animals. I should say humans and other animals, right? Because they just cared for humans and other animals. They just loved them. They just wanted to see them, you know, happy. As a god, which one are you going to reward more? Their god, their stupid god, is going to reward the guy that did this for the reward. Would you not reward the second guy more? Does that not make more sense? Allah is a moron. Your Allah is an idiot. But he says that, and people think it makes sense. It makes no sense.
So why should they expect God to reward them? Why should God reward the people who didn't do anything for him?
Because they're kinder people? Because they're better people. She's thinking. Carrie, come subscribe to Atheist Republic. We have these answers.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just...
Yeah, it's fine.
You're like, it's a fair point.
Yeah. It's Carrie. It's not a fair point. How is that a fair point? You reward more people that were expecting a reward. Why should it be based on expectations?
Yeah. This is the thing. Look, if you didn't do it for Allah, then there's no point of Allah. Why would Allah reward you? You did it for this life. You did it for your own self. And Allah lives you in this life. He gives you provision. He lets you live. He shows mercy on you. But when the time comes, in the day of judgment, that...
So, like, guys, if you're an idiot, let me just give you an example that will make complete sense, right? Let's say you have two employees, okay? One of them, they're both working very, very, very hard, really hard. One of them knows that if they work very hard, they're going to get a bonus from you. The other one doesn't, okay? And they're working equally very hard, okay? So when it comes to performance day, are you not going to give the other guy that didn't know that they're going to get a bonus if they work hard? You're not going to give that person a bonus because he didn't know that if they work hard, they're going to get a bonus? How does that make sense? Carrie, how is that a fair point? Hello, Carrie, come here. Come talk to us.
Created that you don't believe in, you cannot come complain of how he's treating you because you didn't even give him any care. You didn't even care that he exists. You ignored him.
Oh, you can't. Okay. Here's the thing. Here's the question. Here's the question for the Muslim lantern. Okay. So, given that I didn't expect God is going to reward me for my good deeds, it makes sense. It makes no sense for him to reward me. Okay. Well, I will accept your logic, sir. I will accept that logic. Let's go by that standard. Based on that standard, he shouldn't be burning me in hell either, you moron. Because I didn't expect him to burn me in hell if I don't believe in him. I didn't expect that either. I don't believe in that either. So how is this only one way? How is there a reward? The reward is canceled for my good deeds. Because I didn't expect, like, I didn't do that for, I didn't think he's going to reward me. But the punishment is there, even though I didn't know there's going to be punishment. Huh? How is this? What? The punishment should go away. The fire should go, based on your own standard, the fire should go away as well. Guys, does this, am I making sense to you? Is this clear what I'm saying? Oh my God. Do you guys understand what I'm trying to say here? Look at this. Look at the standard. Yeah, people are saying yes.
Okay. And you cannot come complain of how he's treating you because you didn't even give him any care. You didn't even care that he existed. You ignored him. You ignored all of his commands. You pretended as if he's not even there.
Now let's go back to here. So here.
And Allah lives you in this life. He gives you provision. He lets you live. He shows mercy on you. But when the time comes, in the day of judgment, that creator that you don't believe in, you cannot come complain of how he's treating you because you didn't even give him any care. You didn't even care that he exists. You ignored him. You ignored all of his commands. You pretended as if...
How can I ignore something that I don't believe exists, you freaking moron?
He's not even there. So you deserve what you get.
Okay.
Okay.
Another one is, I have a question about the Day of Judgment. So the Day of Judgment is described as, like, on that day, everyone will be so fearful and focused on themselves that they won't even be able to recognize their own mother, their own children, etc. So as someone who is a mother, like, I have a little baby, in a time where I am so scared, why would I not protect my children who are also scared? Why would I leave them to fend for myself?
Yeah, it's not just about the idea of protection. The verse is not necessarily talking about protection only. And it's not just the fear, it's the shock.
Mm-hmm.
There's a shock factor in which then the immense amount of the shock removes everything. It keeps your mind blank.
Mm-hmm.
And we can...
The immense amount of the shock would make you think about the most of the thing that you cherish the most. So that's not necessarily always the case. If you have an immense amount of shock, sometimes that shock will make you focus your entire mind away from yourself and towards the thing that you love the most in your life.
Go back a few minutes, for example, when you were thinking about the answer that I gave you, you mm-hmm. stayed blank for a minute there. So that was the only thing in your mind. Mm-hmm. There was nothing else.
Yeah, because at that point, her child was not in danger, okay? If at that point her child was in danger, she wouldn't be thinking about that question. That is a false analogy, the Muslim lantern. If you're in the afterlife and you might be going to hell and everything is like chaotic, a lot of parents, the first thing that will come to their mind, it would be, where's my child? Is she okay or is he okay? Right? No amount of shock is going to change that. In fact, a high amount of shock might... For a lot of people, it might make them focus entirely on that and nothing else.
Else in your mind. So when you get a shock of seeing, for example, angels, seeing hellfire and heaven, seeing things which...
Yeah, hellfire and heaven. I mean, like, okay, where is my child going to go? Okay, yeah. If I see an angel talking about, like, yeah, some of you are going to go to hell, for a lot of people, the first thing that is going to come to their mind is, like, where is my child? Is my child going to hell?
Which are we would refer to as supernatural from... today's perspective. You cannot even, there is no one else in your mind at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Just no, no, depends. Maybe, yeah, maybe for some people there will be no one else in their mind. For some people, the only thing that on their mind will be someone else.
If you see hellfire and the descriptions of hellfire are descriptions.
Unless you're not the same person, okay? Unless somehow you became a different person. If that event turns you a different person, they're going to be then, there's someone else on Judgment Day. That's not you anymore.
Of the punishment there, you it's impossible for you to try to think about anything else because that occupies
your
complete mind of where you're gonna.
Nope. Like we have so many examples that in great shock and like devastation, like there was a bomb, there was a fire. That person was not capable of thinking about anything else, including themselves, other than the people that they loved. We have so many examples of that. He's trying to make it sound like it's impossible. No, it's not. In fact, for some people, the other way is impossible.
End up yourself.
Mm-hmm. I have another question. It's, I know a lot of people when they become Muslim, a lot of them will pick an Islamic name. But if your name isn't, like, if your born name isn't anti-Islamic, is it still necessary to pick an Islamic?
It's not an Islamic name, people. It's an Arabic name. And no, it's not necessary. Unless your name means like screw Allah or like Muhammad, unless your name is like Muhammad is a horrible person, then you don't need to change it technically. And I don't know why people change it as if Arabic is Islam, you know, like Arabic and Islamic are not always the same thing.
Name?
No. You're welcome to keep your name.
Yeah.
And the
people. Yeah. Okay, I agree. I agree with the Muslim
lantern. A lot of people who tell people, oh, change your name. This, you shouldn't. Look, as long as your name is okay, I actually recommend that people keep their name. This is how people know them.
Yeah, actually, it's really bad that you change your name. It's better for Islamic propaganda for you to have the name, I don't know, Kerry, and be a Muslim. You know, it just looks better for how much Islam is spreading. If your name is John... and you say, hi, my name is John and I'm a Muslim. People are like, oh my God, Islam is spreading. So for Islamic propaganda, keeping your name is, works a lot better.
This is how people speak to them. This is what they've been used to. Unless their name has a problematic connotation, like the servant or the worshiper of Christ, for example, something like this, which exists in Arabic, for example. Some people have this name. So then, okay, then there you have to change your name because you don't worship human beings. So unless this is the case, yeah, even if it was the worshiper of
Muhammad,
peace be upon them, we'd still ask you to change the name because that name is incorrect Islamically and is worshiping other than Allah. So it all depends on the name.
By the way, as an ex-Muslim, I want to say the other way around. If your name is Muhammad or Abdullah and you leave Islam, it's not this, don't consider not changing your name. Okay, saying I'm Muhammad, I'm an atheist. Okay, say I'm Abdullah and I'm an atheist also is very helpful to show like people with names of Muhammad and Abdullah. I know Islam, people with the name Islam that are now ex-Muslim, which is funny. But yeah, don't keep your name. I mean, if you unless you don't like the name, which is fine.
If the name is okay, it has a good meaning. Like,
yeah, change your name to Iblis if you want. Okay, Iblis is a beautiful name. Change your name to Iblis.
Name of the flower or a good name of something good, basic good characteristic, then there's no need for the person to change that.
And another one, and I'm sure you've talked about this one before, sometimes it seems like Islam can be a little bit oppressive towards women.
Sometimes it seems like Islam could be a little bit oppressive to women. How is he going to address this? How is it, guys? Guess, Muslim Lantern, how is he going to address this? Obviously the answer is going to be, but Allah knows best. How could it be unfair where the definition of fair is what Allah says is fair? That's what you should respond to. Like, you are judging, you are trying to decide what is unfair based on your human mind. Who would you refer to based on who, as a Muslim, who do you think understands fair and unfair more than the creator of the freaking universe? That's the answer, all right? So you say it's unfair, and Allah says it's fair. Who do you think we should trust, Kerry? Right? If, you know, if Allah says it's fair for every woman to shove a stick, I don't know what to say, to do the most unfair thing, it's only unfair to us, to our human minds. To our human minds, it's unfair, right? To Allah's mind, which is the only mind that you need to concern yourself with, it's fair, right? So shut up, right? That's the Islamic answer. The Islamic answer is to shut up and accept, submit. Don't question this. Submit.
So, for example, when we aren't allowed to be seen by men, we aren't allowed to talk to men, we aren't allowed to travel.
I mean, you can talk to men. Actually, there's this agreement over talking to men because, Kerry, you're sounding very sexy right now. Okay, I'm not seeing you, but your sound is arousing. I mean, do you agree, people in the live chat? So again, over talking to men, there's a disagreement whether women should, because some people get aroused by just listening to a woman's voice, even if they don't see the woman. So are women allowed to talk to men who are not mahram, or shouldn't, or they're not? Okay, so there's disagreements, and I could tell you that there are ulama that say that you could respond as a woman, you could respond three times. Well, no, two times, and the third, you need to change your voice, right? So, for example, in Iran, this is an actual story. My math teacher went to a house and he was looking for his friend who was very religious. Again, this is not common, to be fair, but if you are following your marja really closely, I mean, this is not just Shia Islam, by the way. I heard Sunni Muslims say this as well. So the person on the other side was a woman. She was saying that, no, he's not home. So first she responded normally like a lady would with a lady voice. And then she responded the second, like, where is he? Like, he's not home. And like, where is he going to be back? And she said, like, I don't know. I don't know where he's going to be back. And then like, could you give him a message? And she was behind the door. And the third time she responded, I'm not going to try to make the voice. She sounded like a freaking monster. So she changed her voice like Batman. She did a Batman voice. At that time, I didn't know that was a Batman voice, but she responded like Batman. I mean, like, the guy was like, what the hell? Why is she talking like this? Because she didn't want to have a woman the third time. She didn't want to have a womanly voice because not to arouse the man. So two responses, womanly is fine. But I mean, if the third response, if it was still womanly, she would be like, oh, like she was like, he's not home. And then like, I don't know when he's going to come back. And then they were like, I will give him your message, like that, like that. So she was like, change her voice so that he doesn't get aroused. So again, I'm not saying this is necessarily a unanimous Islamic belief, but some people, there are some people who are saying like, even your voice could be arousing, right? So there's disagreements over this, right? Somebody's saying, bruh. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's continue.
It's women. So for example, when we aren't allowed to be seen by men, we aren't allowed to talk to men, we aren't allowed to travel alone outside of our house unless we have permission or a guardian.
So I think he's going to say you're allowed to talk to men. You know, guys, do you know how I think that Muslim Lantern is going to say to her that actually you are allowed to talk to men? Do you know how I know that? Do I know how I'm guessing that? Okay. Because I'm very smart. I'm very smart because he's talking to her. Because he's talking to her right now. There you go. That's how I know he's going to say that. And
why are things like that put in place only for women?
Okay. Let me just ask first one question. Because you said Islam is like oppressive to women. And then you give a few examples. You said talk to men, which obviously Islam doesn't say talk to men is haram. For example, right?
Like not
see, because they're talking. How could he think it's haram if they're talking to each other? Yeah, big brain move, Armin. yes. So she's saying, wait, hold on.
Talk to men, which obviously Islam doesn't say talk to men is haram, for example, right?
Like non-mahram.
Mahram, yes.
Mahram.
So, yeah.
Okay, so non-mahram. You know, guys, it's very it's kind of confusing to a lot of people. What is a mahram? A mahram is a person that you are allowed to look at without hijab, or, you know, see their bodies in ways that other people can't see, or talk to them, or look at their faces, or be alone with them in private. Okay, but it's weird because mahram technically means forbidden, right? So don't answer this question, Soha, because I know you already know this. But guys, why would people who are, you're allowed to do things that you're not allowed to do with other people, right? Why are they called forbidden people, right? So for example, if Carrie was a Muslim, she cannot be with me in private. I cannot see her without her hijab, okay? But if I was her brother, I would be her mahram. So she would be able to be next to me in private, and I would be able to look at her without hijab. But a mahram means forbidden. Why would it be forbidden? Huh? Yes, okay, exactly. So here's the same. Because we're not allowed to have sex, right? Mahrams are people who you're not allowed to have sex with. So you're not allowed to have sex with your brother, your son, your father, you can't have sex with them. And those are the same people that you're allowed to be in private with, and you're allowed to be without a hijab with, and you could look at each other and all of that stuff. That's why it's called, you know. By the way, so isn't Islam such a beautiful religion? You refer to your father as a mahram, means a person I cannot fuck. Isn't that beautiful? Every time you see your father, like, he's a mahram. I mean, I can't have sex with her. The way you refer to your brother and your son are, oh, these are, hey, brother, who I cannot have sex with. Hey, my dear son, who I cannot have sex with. This is how you see the people in your family. You think about the fact that they're referred to as the people who you can't have sex with. You know, it's so beautiful. The father-daughter relationship, like, that's what shows on you. Right. I mean, I'm glad that the reminder is constantly there, right, Raquel? Like, father, like, next time you see your father, guys, like, father or mother who I cannot fuck. Hi, mother who I cannot fuck. Right? Like, just talk to them like that. See what happens, okay? Oh, God. All right, let's continue.
It's haram, for example, right?
Like non-mahram.
Mahram, yes.
Mahram.
So, yeah. Excellent. So now you are saying it's a specific type of man. So you should not be then generalizing it to everyone. So if it's a specific type of men, there must be a reason. Okay, what is a non-mahram in an Islamic perspective?
So non-mahram is like somebody who's not a mahram. So you are supposed to not, you know, be in private with them or without hijab. Non-mahram.
Non-mahram is, in the Islamic perspective, someone you can marry. That means that there is sexual tension that can, it can exist between you and the individual. Sexual attraction.
Yeah, so it's non-mahram, you could marry non-mahram. Well, not technically, not all of them, but okay.
And all of these things can exist between you and the individual. So limit.
He says marry, he means having sex.
In the contact between these two individuals, because that person has a specific category. But for example, me speaking to my brother, my father, or.
By the way, nikah in Islam, it gets translated into English as marriage, okay? But the accurate translation is like having intercourse in an Islamic way, okay? Because there's a lot of those nikahs that are technically not what we call marriage.
These two individuals, because that person has a specific category. But for example, me speaking to my brother, my father, or something like this, or my grandfather, these are all men still, and I'm allowed to speak to them. This idea doesn't exist, and even the woman can dress, or she can have her hair, she can have out when she's speaking to her family members, male or non-male. So when you say, but you made the term, you said oppressive. So can you define what is oppression?
So to me, the idea...
Oppression is forced, unjustifiable limitation. Is that good? Guys, is that a good definition? Forced, unjustifiable limitation.
The idea of oppression is... when someone is limited in what they are and aren't allowed to do.
Okay, but that is not...
Okay, wait. Here's the thing. If I was a Muslim, if you just say that oppression is limitation, as a Muslim, I will destroy you. I could like, oh, really? Limitation? You think limitation is oppression, right? Okay, so what about when you are limited not to be able to drive without a seatbelt, huh? Is that oppression? What if, like, in Western societies, you cannot drink alcohol below a certain age, huh? So is that oppression? Children are forced to go to school, you know? So what? That's a limitation. You cannot commit murder. It's illegal for you to commit murder. You are limited on stealing and murder. Is that oppression? So if you say oppression is limitation, then you lost the game. The Muslim will win, okay? Because we believe in limitation. We liberals believe in limitations, right? We non-Muslims believe in limitation. If you believe in law, if you believe in the law, you believe in limitations. So don't say oppression is limitation. Say it's unjustifiable forced limitation, right? And it's not self-limitation. It's forced limitation by others, right? And it's unjustifiable. That is what you should say, right? So it's the unjustifiability of it and the forced nature of it that makes it oppression. Why is somebody putting so much rockets in the live chat? Who is this person? And it's just like so many comments. Four persons of just rockets. Are you trying to spam? Okay, Soha took care of you, okay? I don't know why, what this is supposed to mean, but okay, let's continue.
Of oppression. Okay. Oppression is unjust treatment.
Okay.
Unjust treatment? Okay, maybe he has a better definition than me. Okay, fine. Unjust treatment. No, not all unjust treatment is. I think my definition is better, okay? But at least we agree on the unjust part of it.
So this is limitations is what you...
Oh, yeah, good question in the live chat. Have you liked the stream yet? How dare you? Shame on you if you're watching the stream without liking it. Like right now, it takes half a second. You know, don't believe me, try. Tell me if it takes longer, okay? If it takes longer, tell me in the live chat that it takes longer so I could tell people how much effort that you have to put into spending some time to like the stream. Tell me how long it took you guys, because I've tested this. So many of you don't like the stream, and I thought like, oh, these poor people, it must be very hard. It must be so difficult. Let me go try it. And I was wrong. It was easy. I went on a stream and I liked it. And it was so easy. So you have no excuses. Shame on you if you're not liking it. Do it. It will help our channel grow. Okay. Thank you. Shame. Yes, shame. Half a second. See, I was right.
You're referring to.
Yeah.
So but then you're oppressed by the country you're living in then, because there's so many things.
Thank you.
So all of the Western women are oppressed then, because Western women cannot, drink and drive, for example. They're all oppressed.
Okay.
Yeah. You get one. See, you're right. That carries definition of oppression doesn't make any sense. We believe in limitations. You have to show that it's carry. You have to show that the forced limitation in Islam on women are unjust, and they are unjust. So focus on the unjust part. Show that it's unjust.
I'm trying to say. So if we use the term oppression there, then you have to say that always.
But if you say it's unjust, then they will win again, because who decides what's just and unjust? The human mind or God's mind? This is why you should just target God. Okay, just focus, like, God. The God belief is the problem here, right? Because if you believe in God, then who are you to decide what's just? God has already told you in his freaking book what's just and what's not. Shut up, woman. Submit to Allah, right? This is why, as soon as you accept Allah, then it's all gone. Then you can't argue anything. It doesn't matter what you think. God, you already accepted Allah, and he's telling you what to think. So if you want to argue that it's unjust, you can't. Allah said it's just.
I'm not oppressed. Wherever you live, wherever you are, there has to be certain limitations to the things that you can do and the things that you cannot. Do you agree with me
True.
On this?
Okay. Yes, I agree with you.
Okay. Now, when it comes to the Islamic rules, depends on the rule that you ask, there is a reason. And I'll give you an example. You talked about, for example, being around non-mahram men. I explained to you the idea that these are two genders that will be attracted to one another. Prophet ﷺ said, when you're alone with a woman, the third person is horrible. Satan. So Satan tries to beautify the woman for the man, and also the woman in her heart sways for the man, is vice versa.
Thank you, Satan.
It happens with both of them. When you talk about travel is when a woman will become in a place when she's alone. She doesn't have any protection. She doesn't have any. It's long distances. She'd be tired. She'll have most likely to sleep alone in a hotel or in a place. She needs protection. She needs someone to look after her, and she might need help in wherever she goes. So there is a lot of reasons I can give you, but the main...
Wait, she might need help? Okay, she might not need help. Okay, if she needs help, what are you talking about? Is he trying to excuse the whole guardianship, why women can't be alone and they always need to be a man with them? Like, oh, she might need help. Okay, sure. Then she could ask for help. What about the times that she doesn't need help? Is that what he's referring to? Is he trying to say, like, why women can't be alone and they have to always be with the man? The forced nature of it is the problem here. It's not that, okay, I mean, I might need help sometimes, right? It's not just women that need help. Should we force people to always be with me because I might need help sometimes? Like, what? It's the forced nature of it that is the problem. If you need help, you could ask for help and somebody could be with you. What if you want to go alone, be outside alone by yourself? Then, like, no, there must be a male guardian with you. Why? Because you need help. Like, well, I don't need right now. Like, I want to go alone. Like, nope, you need help. You do. You might not recognize that you need help, but you always need help. I don't understand this part. Like, is that the argument he's making? This is pathetic, because so far I was thinking he's doing a good job as a Muslim YouTuber, but this was weak, you know? Maybe I could come up with a better excuse than this.
The one for the man, and also the woman in her heart sways for the man, is vice versa. It happens with both of them. When you talk about travel is when a woman will travel in a place when she's alone. She doesn't have any protection. She doesn't have any. It's long distances.
We have the police, you know. We have, I mean, like, for example, let's go. You go to Japan, right? Japan is pretty safe. You could be alone, woman, 2 a.m. at night. You know, Tokyo, you're fine, right? So, yeah, we need police. We don't need you to force women to always go around with men. We just need a good police system.
She'll be tired. She'll have most likely to sleep alone in a hotel or in a place. She needs protection.
That's fine. Yeah. I some of my female friends went traveling around Europe by themselves alone, and they were completely fine. You know, maybe if they come to an Islamic country, maybe if they go to a backwards Islamic country, there would be in danger. But if they, you know, many other more advanced liberal countries, they would be unsafe. Yes. And you know what? Actually, you're right. You're right. Maybe Europe is not safe anymore, given that it's becoming more and more Islamic. So what you're saying is also becoming true about European countries, unfortunately. But, you know, Japan, maybe like South Korea, Taiwan, Canada is still, I mean, I don't know how it's going to be like 10 years from now, but, you know, many cities in, you know, in Canada, you could go out as a woman, you can go out alone and you're going to be fine. Yeah. But if you're traveling, yeah, this is again, this is the Islamic problem. So many places where women are not safe outside alone, it's because of Islam. Okay, so it's not, Islam is not the solution here. Islam is the problem here. Okay, so maybe less Islam will make women more safe. Okay, not more of it. Oh, hey, we have Ajay with the 40 rupees from India. Well, thank you. Saying Islamic radicalism is the biggest challenge today. Well, I don't know. I have to think whether it's wokeism or Islamic radicalism, which is the bigger threat today. Because I sometimes think that maybe wokeism is a bigger challenge, because at least when it comes to liberal values, Islam, and also, by the way, the challenge is not Islamic radicalism. The challenge is Islam as a whole, okay? So there is no Islam that is okay and then Islamic radicalism that's a problem. The problem is the entirety of Islam, not just Islamic radicalism, okay? So that one thing. But again, Islam is a threat from outside to liberal values, but wokeism is kind of like a threat from the inside into liberal values. So that sometimes I feel like that's the Trojan horse that we need to be worried about, because they are the ones who are going to be opening the gates to Islam coming in to liberal values. So I don't know. I think wokeism is a bigger threat than Islam. But yeah. Oh, we have more rockets. Why is this the form of spam that people are choosing? I wonder. Like, rockets is like, if you guys want to like make the chat messy, like people who are trolling here, is there, why is rockets? I mean, if you're Muslims, maybe pick like Kaabas, like why? Oh, is this a Hamas kind of threat? Is that why you're choosing rockets? Is this symbolizes Hamas? Are we under Hamas missile attack right now? I don't understand this. I don't understand. Okay. Somebody explain.
She needs someone to look after her, and she might need help in wherever she goes. So there is a lot of reasons I can give you, but the main thing is not these reasons, is the creator commanded it. He knows the nature of a man, he knows the nature of a woman, and he knows what is beneficial for both parties. And yeah. People who are...
Hey, you're right. Like, don't question it. I don't even need... So here's what I would do. If you say, why can't I travel by myself as a Muslim woman, and I need always to have a male with me, right? Don't justify it as a Muslim. Okay, here I will tell you the trick as a Muslim. You don't need to give logic. Okay, just the answer is always like, because Allah says so. Stop thinking about it. Stop trying to justify it. That is the Islamic way. As a Muslim, if you try to come up with rational reasons for why this is the good thing, you know, we liberals will like destroy you. You don't have any logical arguments for any of this. We could show that your ways are the wrong way. Your ways do not will make this world a better place. It makes the world a worse place. And our ways will make this world a better place. So don't come into the reason lane. You know, we have completely destroyed you. You are in the reason lane. Just stay in your own, you know, unreasoned lane. You know, the religion lane, the faith lane, right? Just say, this world doesn't matter. The next world matters. That everything is for the next world. And also, don't come up with any justifications for any of these commands. Just say, Allah, God knows what's best for us. And we're just submitting to Allah. That's the best way for you to respond to all of this.
Are following these commands.
Yes, exactly. People are learning now. Shut up and submit. Exactly. That's Islam means submission. That's the whole point. You submit. If you're trying to figure out why Allah has made a decision, that is you trying to think, come up with the reason for why these things are the way that they are. Like you are trying to, if you are trying to figure out why Allah has given these commandments, then you're submitting to reason. You're submitting to reason. But if you just do it because Allah has said so, then you are submitting to Allah. So don't ask for the reason.
They're following it because Allah commanded it. So none of them believe this is unjust treatment. They believe this is, when Muslim women follow these commands, they know this is from God and they know that it's just. And most of them actually know the reason behind it. But many people still just want to follow their desires. But the thing is, you said, why not men? This is what you said, which is a very feministic way to think about it, which is natural for someone who lives in the West to be influenced by Western ideologies and Western ideas. But the question is the man the same as a woman?
No.
Okay, so if we are different psychologically, physically, and in every...
This is always the answer. Like, oh, men are different than women, okay? Okay, yes. So let's beat up one of them. Again, I'm not going to say which because of YouTube, and not the other. Like, oh my God, that is so unjust. Wait, are you saying that they're the same? Like, no, I'm not saying they're the same. Okay, well, let's beat up this group and not the other group. Like, but that is unjust. Why are you doing this? Well, because they're not the same. I told you, because they're not the same. I mean, how is that a reason? They're not the same. Like, well, we could treat one of them badly, worse than the other one in this specific situation. And they keep saying like, oh, are you saying men and women are the same? Like, no, I'm not saying that. But that is not relevant.
Way, literally, almost, even in the way that we think or perceive ideas or the way that we express ourselves.
Wait, Uranium agrees with us. So those rockets were not Hamas rockets? What are those rockets? Were they anti-Hamas rockets? That was our Iron Dome. Those are our... Thank you so much, Uranium, for your service. Those rockets are the Iron Dome of Atheist Republic. Thank you.
If we are different in all of these different aspects, then it would not make any sense for the treatment to be the same for a man and a woman. There has to be differences in the treatment because they're not the same. They're different. So when Allah, what men, for example, are attracted to in women is, number one, is the physical looks of a woman. This is how men are created. And there are studies on this. This is the first thing that they're...
Not all men, by the way.
Attracted to, but for a woman is not the case. This is not what they put as number one on the list of their attraction when it comes to the man. So then...
It depends on the woman. You're generalizing. You're generalizing. Okay. I've met some woman that this does not apply to, sir.
How a woman can dress will be different from how a man can dress.
It's like women don't care about looks. Yeah. Okay. Sure. 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 You know, again, women are different from each other. If you're talking about averages, okay, then that's the problem with your religion. Because, you know, just because the average of what men think about and what the average of women think about is different, that doesn't mean that all women are like that and all men are like that. And that's the problem, because your religion has a collective command for all individuals within a group based on how the average of that group is. I mean, even if it was based on the average, it's still a pretty crappy command. But still, even if it was not a crappy command, applying a rule based on what the average of that group is like is not a good way to treat every single individual of that group. This is why an individualist mindset, you know, trumps over a collective one in many cases, you know, especially when it comes to commands or way of life. You know, this, we are individuals. Not all men are alike. Not all women are alike. What is best for me is not necessarily what's the best for every other man out there. And what's best for a woman is not necessarily the best for every other woman out there. This is why our individualist, you know, methodology when it comes to liberal values, you know, defeats your barbaric, backward Islamic ideology every day, every single day. Let's go.
Because the attraction is not the same. It's not symmetrical. We're not attracted to the same things. So
Depends on the woman. Depends on the man.
The commands of Allah Azza wa Jal will be different. It will be optimal for the situation of the man and situation.
You will have to say the ain in Islam. You have to Azza wa Jal. Azza wa Jal. The ain in Islam, you have to like say it from here.
So whatever command that is there for a man that is not for a woman, it is because it befits her nature as a woman. And it is the best command or option or situation that she can be in. And the same for a man. Like when Allah says to a man, you have to go. And no one complains about that. It's just, hey, man, you have to go. A work, you have to provide for your woman. You have to provide housing and clothing and everything for her. She doesn't need to participate when it comes to the...
And beat her. Don't forget, beat her if she's disobedient. Don't forget that part. Don't forget that part. Quran 4, chapter 4, verse 34. Brother, ask a good question. Okay? You have to beat your wife, not if... She is disobedient, but if you fear disobedience, I mean, you have to try two other ways. But yeah, look it up, Quran 434. Just search for it. Wife beating in Islam.
Financial aspects.
And it's completely, it's not oppression. This is not oppression. It's completely justifiable. Why? Because God defines it. That's the definition of just. When God says it, it becomes just.
The relationship. This is your responsibility. You have to protect her. If any danger, you're responsible for her.
We're swapping Islamic flags here, guys. Left and right. Left and right. Guys, like the stream.
You are a shepherd and you will be responsible for your flock. So if any danger takes place, you are the one responsible. You need to protect, even if you're going to lose your life in that fight. So these are things that Allah commands the man. And you don't see the man coming complaining, oh, why did Allah, this is oppressive. No one says that.
Yes, yes, they should be complaining, okay? Islam is not just anti-woman. Islam is also anti-man. Very, very much anti-man, okay? So Islam is anti-woman, for example, because it says, like, beat your wife whenever she's like, beat her whenever she's like, not fear disobedience from her. But it also tells men that you have to go to war in the fi sabilillah for the sake of Allah, right? So, I mean, it's really anti-woman because women get slapped when they're not listening to their husbands, okay? But sometimes I think, like, men have it worse because... I mean, what's worse, getting slapped in the face or having like a spear shoved up your ass, right? That's also very bad. I have to go like put my body in front of swords and spears because like there's a war now, like for the sake of Allah, for the sake of the expanding the Islamic Caliphate. Like that is my duty. Like, no, I don't want to go. Like, what the hell, right? I have to die for spreading, you know, go put myself in danger for spreading, you know, the deen of Allah, like for the religion of Allah. Yeah, that's not good. I don't want to do that. That's anti-men, right? So, yeah, it is. People are not complaining. You're right, the Muslim Lantern. People should be complaining. Islam is anti-human, not just anti-woman. It's anti-men and anti-woman at the same time. We should be complaining.
We accept, okay, Allah told me I have to work. My life is going to be more difficult. You know? Nobody's going to come give me, mahr.
Yeah, somebody's saying, what if she is stronger than her man? Well, yeah, because it's not individual. This is it's a collective mindset. It's a collective mindset. It doesn't talk about individuals. It only talks about averages, which is like very backwards. Like it's not, you know, we know why it doesn't work.
Marital gift, you know, and then pay my rent and pay my food. No one is going to do that for me as a man. I have to go and work. And because I'm a man, these are the commands that I need to keep up. What therefore I follow because of my... I know this is what works for me as a man. Allah knows my...
Yeah, that's why... That's literally the explanation of the Quran. Why is it okay for me to beat my wife? Again, YouTube, not my words, Quran words. Because I make the money and I bring in, you know, the bacon. The chicken? I don't know. I bring the money in. Like, I provide... That's my role. That's why I get to beat my wife. That is actually the ayah, the verse in the Quran that tells you... to commands you to beat your wife starts with saying that men are providers, they bring in the money, and they are superior to women because God has given some of them something that hasn't given the other ones. Again, Quran 4:34, look it up, and then it says like, yeah, I'll beat them if they're not listening. So the reason, the justification for this oppression of women is because we make the money. You don't make the money. The woman can't work. You know, it's all known. Women cannot make money. Right? Because we make the money, we get to beat you. Again, not my words, YouTube.
Nature, Allah knows the best option for me and what I should be doing and what I should be doing.
Okay, that makes sense. But I guess it's just more like evident as to how the women are treated differently. But I have another question.
No, I can't let you. I can't let you move on there, right? Because like you made a comment there. So can you tell me evident where? Which place?
Like I'm just... And maybe it's because like I'm a girl, but I don't see as much men having to follow specific like rules or guidance or things like that.
Well, no, okay, this is unfair to men, okay? Like, Kerry, you're being a man hater, okay? The Quran is also oppressive to men. Okay, you guys, it's bad for women, yes. You guys have to listen to your husbands and you have no control over your destiny, over your life. And you get beaten up when you don't listen to your husbands. Okay, that is really hard. Okay, but it has also rules for men. I mean, it's not that bad right now because there's not that much wars anymore. And like, you know, even if the Islamic rulers are out there asking people to go to war, technically, who says like they are a proper Islamic government? So I don't have to listen to them. But the way that the Quran is written, it was supposed to be like, yeah, there's going to be jihad, and I would have to go and freaking die, and that is a command from... I mean, you don't have to go as a woman, as a Muslim woman, you don't have to go and put yourself in front of swords and spears, but it would be my duty to go. So no, fuck that, I don't want to go. So yeah, there are... In fact, I would say it's more biased against men. Now that I think about it, it's more biased against men. You know, I would prefer to get slapped in the face than have a spear shoved up my ass. So yeah, the commandment to men is actually harsher.
Okay, have you Have you been? No, but you said how women are treated. You didn't say it about men. But have you been to a Muslim country?
No.
Okay. So how is it evident when you've not even been to one country?
Because we have the thing called the internet. There's videos, there's reports, there's research. What the hell are you talking about? Why does she have to go to a Muslim country? By the way, if she goes to a Muslim country, she would be very disappointed. Like, don't advocate that to her. Like, which Muslim country are you going to send her to? Saudi Arabia, Iran? Where are you going to send her to? Bangladesh, Pakistan? She's going to get very disappointed. The less Islamic these countries are, the better women are, the better off women are. Like, if you go to Tunisia, women are better off than in Saudi Arabia because one of them is more Islamic than the other one, right? So I don't know if that's a good idea, but it is evident. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, how is this evident if you haven't been to an Islamic country? Like, have you not heard of this thing called the news and research and peer-reviewed academic research and YouTube? You are on YouTube. You understand that there are videos of Islamic countries on YouTube, right? You understand that? You don't actually have to go there to figure this out. I mean, you seem to know what's happening.
How is it evident when you've not even been to one country?
I just mean like from what I've learned in Islam, like for example, they're allowed to go out alone. They don't need a guardian to travel, like stuff like that. Like
Okay, let me ask you this question. When it comes to physicality, if I bring a 20-year-old woman and a 15-year-old boy and they fight, who's gonna win?
I don't know. Generally,
see, so yeah, most of the time the man is gonna win, sometimes the woman, right? But you say generally, that's why your religion is so stupid, because it makes general commands for an entirety of a population.
Old woman and a 15-year-old boy and they fight, who's gonna win?
I don't know.
Generally, in most cases, who's gonna win?
I guess the guy.
Okay. Why is he going to win? Because he's got a physical nature that is God-given that the woman does not have.
Mm-hmm. So if a woman is strong, then those rules should not apply then. You know, if an individual woman has different characteristics, then you should have different rules for her. See, this is what liberalism is superior, because we have individual rules.
He's got muscle mass, more muscle mass, faster reaction speed, tissues, muscle tissues, and all of these things.
Yeah, team man. Suck it, woman.
So if
Sorry.
They're not the same when it comes to the physicality and power and who can overcome the other, then one can be allowed to go out nighttime and he is able to protect himself and one would not be. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Also, I had a question about why are men allowed to marry within other religions, but women are not?
The simple reason Allah just said so. He allowed.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, he has the right, like simple reason, because Allah said so. That's it. End of discussion. As a Muslim, you don't need to say anything else. However, the actual reason is because that was spread to Islam. Because in Islam, religion goes through the father, right? So if Muslim women shouldn't be able to marry, first two reasons. First of all, because women are treated like property of men. So when you go marry a non-Muslim woman, you're bringing women to property into the, you know, Islam. And also because Islam will spread. If a woman marries, a non-Muslim woman marries a Muslim man, the children will be Muslim. But if a Muslim woman marries a non-Muslim man, the children will be non-Muslim. That would be bad for the spread of Islam. So that's why only Muslim men are allowed to marry non-Muslim women, if they're Ahl al-Kitab. But Muslim women are not allowed to marry non-Muslim men, right? So it has a utility for the spread of Islam.
Therefore, it's allowed. That's it. Okay. But it's not.
But don't argue. Don't explain anymore. Just say yeah, because Allah said so. That's it. That's your winning argument.
Marry within other religions, but women are not.
The simple reason Allah Azza wa Jalla said so. He allowed it. Therefore, it's allowed. That's it. Okay. But it's not other religions. It's only Judaism and Christianity.
Yeah, only Judaism and Christianity means Ahl al-Kitab. That's why I say Ahl al-Kitab, people of the book. So you're not allowed to, as a Muslim man. You are okay, so you're not allowed to marry, for example, Zoroastrian or atheist or Hindu woman as a Muslim man. You could only marry Muslim women, Christian women, and Jewish women, right? However, you still can have sex with other women who are neither Muslim or Christian or Jew if you take them as sex slaves. You know, that is allowed. So even if you don't marry them, you could still have sexual relationship with them through capturing them or buying them, capturing them in war for Allah or buying them. Yeah, exactly. Soha is confirming this. I'm not making this up, guys. This is true. Okay, for people who are new here.
I'm in Christianity.
Yeah, yeah. So if a woman is a Hindu or a woman is not a believer, is an atheist or any type of politics.
Yes. Atheist represent. I was hoping he says atheist because, like, guys, we used to not be ignored completely. We're growing.
Yes. Fire worshiper, multiple gods.
Fire worshiper is a Zoroastrian. Hey, he said the same three examples. By the way, Zoroastrians are not fire worshippers, but they refer to them as fire worshippers. But he said he gave the same three examples. He said Hindu, atheist, so we, and then Zoroastrians, Islam refers to Zoroastrians as fire worshippers.
Type of polytheist, fire worshipper, multiple god worshipper, any of these different things, you know, worship stars, and still, he's not allowed to marry her. But the Jews and the Christian women, first, the main and most important reason is Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded it. Now, what wisdom some scholars have spoken about, for example, the fact that we are very close to the Christian and Jewish women in their beliefs. So we believe in the same prophets, most of the same prophets we believe in. We believe in the hellfire and heaven. Mm-hmm. The commands, most of them are similar. We have the commonalities between the prophets and all of these different things. So it's very easy for a woman, if she lives with a Muslim man, to accept Islam, to become a Muslim in the future. That's a very easy thing because there's already a lot of commonalities between you and that woman. But even though this is the case, Allah Azza wa Jalla has still put conditions. He said the woman has to be chaste, which means she's either a virgin or she doesn't sleep around with men. Mm-hmm. And 99% of the women in the West today, they're every day with a different man, you know? And obviously I'm exaggerating when I say it a different day, but you know what I mean. They're always here and there. So if this is the case, they don't fit the criteria of what Islam allows anyways. So if a woman is like this, she commits fornication and she does it, and she continuously does it, this woman is not permissible for a Muslim man because Allah has put that she has to be chaste. And the second thing, she has to believe in her religion, her book, that her book is from God. So there's a lot of cultural Christian women that claim that, you know what, I'm Christian, but I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't go to the church. But what they mean by Christian, they have baptism sometime when they were like two or three, you know? So that does not mean Christian from an Islamic perspective. So when Allah allows Jew or Christian, these two conditions still apply. And as I said, the wisdoms of scholars have said is this idea. It's much easier for the woman to accept. And even if she doesn't, the children will follow the religion of the father. Mm. The father is the leader.
That's the main reason. That's the main reason.
Of the household. Therefore, the children will follow his example. But if a woman is...
The children will be Muslim. The children will get the religion of the father.
If we now flip the roles now, and a woman is a Muslim and she's with a non-Muslim man. For example, Muslims fast Ramadan. It's a whole month. Mm-hmm. And when you fast, you cannot have intercourse. Mm-hmm. Now, no non-Muslim man would want to wait 1 month while his wife, she wants to fast in a religion that he doesn't believe in.
Wait, can't you have sex after the Maghrib? You know, after the fasting period is over, or it's not that you're not supposed to have sex throughout the entirety of the month. You could have sex right when you break your fast at the evening, right? Like 1 month of no sex. That sounds horrible. That sounds like hell. Yeah, you can. Yeah. So exactly. So he doesn't understand. Like, so I'm saying, yes, you can. Yeah, exactly. You can have, it's not 1 month of no sex. That's like every day from dawn to Maghrib till dusk, you know, during the time that you're fasting, that's the time that you can't have sex. Right when they say Aloha, you could just wait right, you know, the Maghrib Adhan, the call to prayer at the evening. Right when they say that, you could just, you know, have sex right then. You could technically just hold it right at the very edge and just wait for the Aloha Akbar and just go right in as soon as you hear the Aloha Akbar. Right at the second that you say, you don't even have to wait for them to say Aloha Akbar completely. You could just hold it. You could be edging your wife, you know, you could be edging her, and you could be just right at the edge. And just as soon as you see the hear the of Aloha Akbar, just go right in, right? That's allowed Islamically. Again, I'm telling you, this is true. Mufti Armin will answer all your questions.
He will enforce his own views on the children. He is the leader of the household. And mm-hmm. also he will influence her ideas and her understanding, which is very natural. So again, it all comes back to this idea. If you put it in your mind, look, men and women are not the same. Therefore, treatment with them has to be different. Then these ideas become much easier to understand when you look at the nature of a man and the nature of a woman. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, I can mention a lot more stuff, but I wouldn't even, like, for example, when it comes to intercourse and the things done in the intercourse, how the intercourse is done, there are many things that are prohibited from an Islamic perspective. The man would say, I don't care what your religion is.
There's so many rules for intercourse. It's just so romantic.
He says, I want to do this. You know, I don't care. Your religion says this specific act cannot be done in this way. You know, he doesn't care. He wants to enjoy himself. This is his wife. So it's very problematic, basically. Yeah.
Okay. And I have one last question, and it's quite a specific question. So the reason I have this question is because I recently gave birth, and I gave birth to a baby girl.
Oh, congratulations, Carrie. How nice. Please don't make her a Muslim. Carrie, don't do this to your daughter. Carrie, Paul, watch them. Guys, somebody send a stream to her. Carrie, please don't do this to your family. She just had a daughter. She's considering Islam. This is not good. It's a girl. It's horrible for her. It's horrible. Don't curse your family with Islam. Oh, we got a super chat. The Comely Bengali saying, don't Muslims say the Bible is corrupt? Yeah, but the original version of the Bible was good, you know, the one that Jesus got, apparently, and then they corrupted it later. But even if you're wrong about the Bible, if you're a Christian, you could technically say, well, I believe in this book. Well, if you're a Christian, Islamically, you're still wrong, right? But you're close enough for a Muslim man to marry you. So yes, you believe in a corrupted book, but you have to at least believe in that, or else if you don't believe in that, you're not even a Christian. So you can't be married to, right? So that's why it is corrupt, but it's close enough to Islam for you to be able to marry her.
And so my question is, do I have to shave off her hair? And if I do, what is the logical reasoning behind this?
No, you...
Wait, Islam? I've never heard of this, guys. Islam teaches you to shave off the hair of the baby? No. I've never heard of this before. Is this a thing? I think even if it's a thing, it's kind of must be something that is suggested. There's no command in Islam that tells you to shave off the hair of the baby girl. Like, why? Like, are people are going to be attracted to babies?
It's very problematic, basically. Yeah.
Okay. And I have one last question, and it's quite a specific question. So the reason I have this question is because I recently gave birth, and I gave birth to a baby girl. And so my question is, do I have to shave off her hair? And if I do, what is the logical reasoning behind this?
Carrie, do you not understand? You keep asking for logical reasonings. I think you don't understand what Islam is, okay, Carrie? Carrie, you do not submit to reason. You submit to the will of Allah.
No, you don't have to do it. Okay.
Oh, okay. So you're so good. I didn't know. By the way, I'm learning this about shaving off heads of babies for the first time. I didn't even know this part of Islam. Okay, so I'm glad he's saying that you don't have to do it.
this is a sunnah. Like, it's a sunnah, which means it's a recommended act.
Oh,
right? Okay.
It is sunnah. Okay, so it is part of sunnah. I'm learning something new here. Well, thank you, Muslim intern. So it is, he said it's recommended. What the hell? Why would you? Okay, that's weird.
So it's recommended, but it's not
recommended. But again,
It's recommended, but it's not required.
It's
okay.
Recommended from Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's not necessary for you to do. And if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. Like, it's not like. But it's an act of sunnah. But the thing is this. When you say, what is the logical reason behind this? There is an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
The assumption is that there has to be a logical justification that fits what you think is logical for every command in Islam. That's an assumption. Because otherwise, that question would not make any sense. Because if Allah commanded it and there is no need for me to have a logical justification, I'm not going to be asking for one. But there is an assumption for many people is that there has to be a logical explanation given to me that fits my understanding for every command in order for me to do that command. Then you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping your own desires. You're worshiping your intellect. Yeah. Do you understand?
You're worshiping your intellect. Yes. Look, he's admitting that Islam is anti-intellectual, is anti-reason. You should not submit to your reason. You should submit to Allah. This is an admission that Islam is anti-reason.
So if it makes sense to my intellect, I'm going to do it. If it does not make sense to my intellect, I'm not going to do it. And the fact is, you can do this with any command in Islam. You can have a never-ending process. For example, why is it 5 prayers?
See, guys, see how dangerous Islam is? Like, if you're looking for justification, if you're looking for intellect, if you're looking for reason, Islam, this is not the Islamic way. So Islam is anti-reason.
And if it was okay. 6, you will say, why is it 6 prayers? If it's okay. 10, a person, another person will come and say, why is it 10 prayers? So there are certain things that we would call, there's two types of commands in Islam. Things which are ta'abbudi, means we do as an act of worship. For example, the one you...
See, guys, I'm not even saying this. I'm not saying this as somebody who's against Islam. This is a Muslim, like, repeating what... Because when I say it, people feel like, oh, Armin, like, you're, like, just making this up. You're just being overly... You're just biased. But the Muslim is saying this. The Muslim is confirming what I just told you guys.
Mentioned about shaving the head. This is an act of worship. And then there is other things that Allah might tell you the reason and the wisdom behind them. These two types of things. But the important thing, what you need to establish with logical reasoning, is whether Islam is the truth or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. The beginning part. Like they say, reason, you use reason to accept that Islam is their true religion. And after that, reason goes out the window. That's the only part that you apply reason, that to realize that Islam is the one true way, and that is done. It's done. Then you do not think after that. Then you submit.
Once you've established that with logical reasoning and evidences, then you cannot be questioning every single thing, because you already now accepted this is literally God's command. You get the point? Once I establish this is from God, then I know God is speaking there. So if God is speaking there, I'm not going to be asking God every single thing he tells me to do. Why should I should do it and I shouldn't do it? The details are very specific things like what you mentioned about shaving the head of a baby. So once you understand this concept, okay, I need first evidence that Islam is the truth. Okay, I've got evidence that Islam is the truth. I believe it's from God. Then I would follow what God commands, because he's God. He's the all-knowing, the all-wise. He is like the creator. He's the one who created me. And I'm in this life to obey and worship the creator.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But when you ask that question, you say, do I have to shave? Like, it seems like you're very close to Islam. So were you?
Okay, I hope not, Kerry. I hope you realize that this is a toxic relationship with a horrible ideology that tells you not to use your reason and intellect. Kerry, it seems like you're interested in using your reason. You need justification for why you need to do things. But given this last answer, it seems like this is a anti-reason religion. Get out. Get out, Kerry. Kerry, get out. Don't become
this
Muslim.
To obey and worship the Creator.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But when you ask that question, you say, do I have to shave? Like, it seems like you're very close to Islam. So were you want to accept Islam or something like that? Is that the case?
Like I said, like I've... So basically for the last year and a half, I've been really looking into it. But it's just been taking me a while to like fully...
Kerry, come talk. Contact me. My DMs are open on DM. My DMs are open on DM. My DMs are open on Twitter. Okay, search for Armin Navabi on Twitter. It has a blue check mark. Okay, if anybody is copying me, I'm the one with like, I don't know, 50,000 followers or stuff, right? So message me on Twitter. So my DMs are open, and tell me that you are this Kerry, and we could have a discussion. Okay. Even if it's, I would rather do it live publicly, but even if you want to do it privately, I will do that as well. Okay, but guys, somebody send this to Kerry.
We accept everything that I've learned about it, which is why I wanted to join your live and kind of ask some of those questions that I have hesitations with.
Okay, is there any other thing that you still have hesitation with, you know?
Not that I can think of today.
Okay. Okay, no problem. So you're welcome. Yeah,
but thank you so much for answering everything.
Yeah, no problem. I hope the answers were satisfactory, you know. And you're welcome to come another time if you got more questions about Islam. And I do, like, we always welcome anyone to Islam, you know. If anytime you want to accept Islam, you want to become Muslim, you're welcome to come on. Or you're welcome to speak to Muslims if you have Muslims around you who can help you do it. Basically, we welcome everyone, you know.
Guys, make sure you like the stream. You can see how Islam is spreading. Like, you know, we have Americans and Europeans and Japanese and Koreans, they're becoming Muslim, okay? We need to have alternative content out there to, you know, fight the spread of Islam. So make sure you like this. Just by liking the stream, you're helping this channel grow, and you're helping more people see the counter to all this nonsensical, I guess all these narratives, like this, all these BS, right? So make sure you like the stream. Make sure you also leave a comment under the show, because that really helps. Make sure you also subscribe yourself, at least check subscribe, and also make sure you hit the bell notification so when we go live, you see these streams, okay? And also tell your friends and your enemies to come subscribe to Atheist Republic.
That's a religion for everyone and anyone. And as I said, if you've got any questions, you're also welcome to come back, okay?
Okay, bye.
No problem, bye-bye.
Okay, guys. One last point. Think about, like, just be honest with me, okay? If there's no afterlife, which one of these systems makes more sense? You saw this guy was so perfect. Like, he represents the divine command theory. So we have... Right now, we have many different ethical standards, moral philosophies out there. And which one, honestly, is better? So I here try to represent a rule utilitarianism as a way of what we call just, what we call good, what we call bad, what we call evil, okay? All of these words that we use to judge things, right? We use, I here and so many other people in the live chat, we use rule utilitarianism to decide what is good and what is bad. They use divine command theory. So rule utilitarianism in general says like the things that are good are things that are benefit society, benefit the highest number of people, and things that are bad are things that cause harm and misery to the highest number of people, right? So that's how we define good and bad. They say good is whatever Allah says is good, divine command theory, that's how it works. Or bad is whatever Allah says is bad. Which one do you think would make the world a better place? Which one of these, if you decide that good things are things that make more people prosperous, happy, safe, less miserable, you know, bad things are things that will make people miserable, unsafe, stress, pain, you know, poverty. These are bad things. These are harm. This is what we call harms, right? That we want to reduce. Harm reduction. Like our goal with our moral philosophy is harm reduction and increasing joy in the world. Love, peace, happiness, joy. We want to increase that in the world. That moral philosophy compared to somebody who says whatever Allah says is good, even if he says that, you know, kill your own child. Like, that's the whole point of the story of Abraham. So we call it Abrahamic religions. This story, they share, all three of them, they share the story. Because that story is trying to teach you divine command theory. Something as evil as beheading your own child, you know, Abraham killing his own child. If God says it's good, then by definition, it will be good. You don't ask like, oh, this is bad. Why would God set us to do something like that? No, by definition, it would be good. So we say by definition, something is good if it's causing more joy and reducing misery. Divine command theory, it says by definition, something is good if God says so. Which one of these things do you think will lead to a better world? Which one of these standards will lead to a better world? Leave your answers in the comment section because that will help the algorithm. See what I did there? Okay, see, leave your comments in the answers in the comment section, and also make sure you join us in the next stream because you obviously have hit the bell notification and you are going to be there in the next stream as well. We're doing good here. This channel is doing very good, so support us. Oh wait, we got a super chat. I forgot to read this one. The Comely Bengali says that proof that Islam is anti-intellectual is Quran chapter 5 verse 101 to 102. All right. Well, thank you so much for the super chat. Anyways, guys, see you on the next stream. Bye. Make sure you like. Bye.